Muy buenos días, amados hermanos y amigos presentes aquí en Calle y Puerto Rico y también allá donde te encuentras.
Good morning, beloved brethren and friends present here in Calle, Puerto Rico, and also where you are, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín, in Monterrey, Nuevo León, Mexico, and all the brethren there. May God bless you all greatly, and may He bless you greatly, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. Also, for everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 in the different countries. And also those who are here, may God bless you greatly. I express my most sincere condolences for the departure of the Reverend Alevino Eusebio da Cruz from Minas Gerais, Brazil, who departed with the Lord. And also our sister, Berta Biondi, mother of William Cifontes and Daniel Cifontes. He had already departed, but William Cifontes is with us. Our sister Berta, from Venezuela. She is in Venezuela, was living in Venezuela. May God comfort the hearts of their family members, aware that soon we will see them again in the resurrection, where according to the prophecies and promises of God, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and on, there the Apostle Paul speaks to us about one of the occasions of that promise, which will take place at this time. For this occasion, our subject is the identification of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, preached Saturday, April 2nd, 2011, in Bogotá, Colombia, by Dr. William Soto Santiago, who read to us there the scripture of the Gospel according to John, chapter 13. Verse 31 and on, where he tells us the following. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one another." The identification of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may please be seated. In the message, preparing ourselves to enter into the Promised Land, preached on November 20th, 2015, in Cali, Colombia, Dr. William Soto Santiago tells us, and now, preparing ourselves to enter the Promised Land, just as Israel had to prepare in Joshua's time to enter the Promised Land. That marks a time for us in which something important is going to happen. We find that the 40 years of Israel through the wilderness are a type and figure of the seven stages or ages of the church among the Gentiles, or of the Gentile church, the church to whom God sent seven messengers among the Gentiles, from Paul up to the Reverend William Branham, which shows us that in order then to enter into the Promised Land, which the Reverend William Branham said that soon, three dots, he saw that we would soon enter into the Promised Land, where all the blessings of God, the promises of God, are. He says that he had a dream or a vision, and he saw himself on the map in the territory. He saw the territory of Palestine, or Israel, and he had already walked three-quarters of a way, or two-thirds of a way, towards the Jordan. In other words, he had not crossed the Jordan yet. And he looked across the Jordan and said, and there he is going to read. Let's search in the book of quotations. I will only read a small part there. Book of Quotations, page 60, from the Book of Quotations, paragraph 527. He only read a small portion there, a sentence. Let us read those first parts of that paragraph. It says, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, I suppose. I had gotten up, and I looked where, in front of me, I was coming down to the Jordan. Looked like I was standing on the map of Palestine, and I was coming down to Jordan. And seemed like I could hear the song, I'm going down to the Jordan. Someone was singing it. And as I drew near the river, I looked back and seen which way I had come. And I was two-thirds of the way there, to the Jordan. And I looked across Jordan, and I said, oh, praise God. That's the sentence that he reads here in the message. Oh, praise God. Just on the other side is where all the promises lay. Every promise lays in the Promised Land. There to the right, he draws a Star of David. And he also draws a cornerstone. And above, there he writes, Jordan equals death. And he also writes, Palestine equals all the promises. Narrow road. And in a little part, he says, I'm going down to the Jordan. There on the left, he also had drawn a Star of David. Now, our brother William continues to say here, after reading that sentence, oh, praise God, just on the other side is where all the promises lay. Every promise lays in the Promised Land. And brother William says, in other words, that there is a great blessing that was typified in Israel's entrance, crossing the Jordan and entering into the Promised Land. Before entering into the Promised Land, before reaching the Jordan, he saw a serpent that was frightening people, which, well, shows that the Antichrist, that the Red Dragon, will raise up a great persecution against the believers in Christ. The squeeze mentioned by the Reverend William Branham that will come. He tells us about that in that same quote 527 of that vision that he saw of that serpent that was frightening him. And here he tells us that that shows that persecution, that squeeze. And he goes on to say, but at that time, God will manifest himself in all of his fullness. In the Book of the Ages, edited, tells us on page 376, here in the red book, in Spanish, is 431. To 432. 427, this is in the blue book here in Spanish, but in 376 it says, now remember, it was imperial pagan Rome that fell by the sword, but she was healed of her death stroke when she joined the nominal Christian Church of Rome and incorporated paganism and Christianity. There on the right, he writes, the head mortally wounded, and thereby became the Holy Roman Empire, which was to endure until Jesus came and destroyed her. But Rome is not going it alone. Her daughters are right with her, and she will take over absolute authority by the World Council of Churches. This may seem far-fetched to some, but actually it is a very plain for all to see, because right now the churches are controlling politics. And at the opportune time, will manifest exactly how great is that control. This ecumenical move will end up with Rome at the head, even though the people did not envision it that way. This is so because in Revelation 17:3-6, it states that the whore, Mystery Babylon, is seated on the beast. She is controlling the last or fourth empire. Here on the right, he writes, the fourth empire. And there above the fourth empire, he writes upward, Rome will be the head of the ecumenical movement. There on the right, on the red book, Rome will be the head of the ecumenical movement. And here, in the blue one, above on the margin above, he writes, the beast equals the Roman Empire. The whore equals the Roman Catholic Church. This Roman Church is doing that, with the world church system under her Rome will be controlling. And this image, church system, will be obedient to Rome because Rome controls the gold of the world. Thus all the people have to belong to the world church system or be at the mercy of the elements. There on the left, he writes, the mark of the beast. For they cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast in the hand or head. Here he writes, At the top in the margin, he also writes on the red one, the mark of the beast in the forehead and in the hand. Now let us see what that means. He says, this mark in the head means that they will have to take the doctrine of the world church system, which is Trinitarianism, etc., and the mark in the hand, which means to do the will of the world church. With this great power, the church systems will persecute the true bride. This image will try to keep the bride from preaching and teaching. Now notice, neither preaching nor either teaching. They'll try to boycott that. And on top of that, he says, this image will try to keep the bride from preaching and teaching, etc. His ministers will be forbidden to give comfort and truth to the people who need it. In other words, even praying for the sick will be forbidden. But before the Antichrist in person takes over this complete world system of churches, the true church will be taken away from this world to be with the Lord. God will catch away His bride for the great marriage supper of the Lamb. Here also He speaks to us in the message. There's a man here that can turn on the light. He also tells us, there on page 48, the Reverend William Branham says, don't worry. It may be dark, look like they're going to force us, everyone. All this, you see the proclamation going out. All these little churches and things are got to come in now. You've got to come in, or they're going to close you up. They're on the right, he writes, the squeeze. They're going to make it. Now, we want to hit that real hard tonight. When I get to this time, see? Now, we're going to close up. You have to be one of them or not. You're either into that or you can't do nothing. Can't even buy or sell. That's it. You're dearest to pray for the sick. Here he details it a little more. You're dearest to pray for the sick. If you are caught ministering to any sick or any person with any spiritual thing in there, you are subject to a federal law to be executed. Notice how everything will be increasing. In other words, that persecution until they make that a law and a federal law. That's exactly right, see? You know that. That's right. It is in their papers. Yes, sir. So you cannot do it. You have to belong to the cult. Brother, let me tell you something. You better get Christ sure in your heart right now, because there is a time coming where you're really going to need it. It's the Holy Spirit in the soul, in the heart, which is the only place a person can escape from this. You're out then. Remember, when that seal is put on, she is there for good. See? So don't you do it. Don't you believe that stuff. You get right into Christ right now, the Word. Yes, sir. Vindicates the Word and shows that it is the light of the hour. That's how we know He is the light, because He is the light manifesting itself in flesh. How do we know? He was God's Word made flesh, see? God's Word was showing itself, vindicating itself. When the Messiah cometh, what He'll do? The woman said at the well, when the Messiah cometh, He'll do these things. You must be the prophet, which is the Word, for telling us these things. He said, I am He. See, that was enough. The light shined on the promised word. There is the light. And there he draws a cornerstone in the ages. And he writes upward there, the light manifesting itself in flesh. Here also in the book of quotations, on page 15, it shows us something there as well, on paragraph 105. He says, we got freedom of speech. And he writes, expression. Certainly we have. First thing you know, they'll try to stop all of this. They'll try to quit praying for the sick. Praying for the sick and put a ban on it. And just remember that when persecution rises, the church it comes to its very height then. See, it reaches the highest part, which is the age of the cornerstone. It's always the best. Yes, sir. And God is working it all together. And above he writes, the squeeze and the blessing. The squeeze and the blessing. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, therefore, when you see that sign, don't be afraid. It is like the little girl and the little boy that were taken by their parents to a place where they entered as tourists, into a cave. And when they reached the place where they were going to give the demonstration in that cave, they turned off the light. And the little girl began to scream in fear. But her little brother has seen that the one who turned off the switch was there. And he tells her, little sister, do not be afraid. There is a man here that can turn on the light. We see that there, that small narration, in this message, there is a man here that can turn on the light. On page 47, notice he tells us, a fellow was saying, here about a couple of years ago, he was down in New Mexico, and there he writes Mexico on the right. I held a meeting there close to Carlsbad Caverns. You've heard of them down there, the great. And they took a man and his wife and a bunch of children. Went on this elevator, went all the way down to the very bottom of the pit. And when they got down there, they turned all the lights off. And when they turned all the lights off, it was midnight dark. And above that he writes, Mexico. I had them to do that over here in these gardens here. And at one time, over in Colorado there, wife and I, back there, was in there. And they turned them lights on. My, you put your hand like this, you couldn't see nothing. In other words, in that cave, one do this, and you could not see your hand because of how dark it was. And there was a little girl standing there. And there he makes an arrow outwards towards the left, and he writes, the bride. And there was a little girl standing there, and she began screaming. Oh, screaming. She was scared to death. It was so dark. The poor little thing was grabbing everywhere and trying to scream and holler for her papa, mama, everywhere. She just couldn't stand it. It was so dark. She never seen such a darkness. And that's about the way it is now. That's right. It's so dark, you don't know where to go. You go to the Methodist, go to the Baptist, go to the Presbyterian. It's all the same thing, see? Eating that old, dead, rotten manna with wiggle tails in it. See? Something, some creed. Come in and join this and the other and that. Old creed and everything. You don't see Christ in it, see? Oh, you see self-righteous people. I would say so. Many are fine people in there now in them denominations. I'm saying the system, not the people in there. But you see, that's what they are eating on. Tell them about it. And here is fresh food. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And this little girl standing there, she was screaming top of her voice, about to go into hysterics, about like the little bride is. And he writes there, when the light of the seventh age turned off, Laodicea, fourth Elijah. But you know what? Her little brother cried out, said, little sister, don't fear, because he was standing right by the engineer. Above he writes, the engineer said, there's a man here who can turn on the lights. Don't fear, little sister. There's a man here who can turn on the light. He can make this word live. We don't know how he's coming. We don't know how, when he's coming. I don't know nothing about that. But he is here. And he can turn on the lights. How are we going to get out of it? I don't know. But he is here. And he is the one that can turn on the lights. Yes, sir. He is the one. He is the light. He just makes himself known. That's how he turned on the light. See how the Holy Spirit turns on the light? It's by making himself known. Exactly right. It takes Christ to flash away on his lights. Then all the darkness scatters. He separates. He is pulling his little bride out. I'll take a people out of the Gentiles for my name's sake. Now, our brother William continues to say here, which, and when that difficult time of darkness comes, where the church bride of Christ will go through a difficult squeeze, there will be a man, the Holy Spirit, the angel of the covenant, who will turn on the light. It will be him. Remember that the Holy Spirit is the one that can always turn on the light of the Word, because the Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119, verse 105. Remember that Brother Branham told us that wherever the Word is and the Word would be, is what? Is veiled. Page 119 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1054 says, and he's going to read that portion there. Let us find it so we can have it there as well. Page 119, paragraph 1054, it says, when the persecution comes, don't get scared. There is a light, said he would catch his people away. She'll not go through the tribulation. She'll never do it. He said she wouldn't. She'll be caught away. There he writes in the Book of Quotations, in that portion, the squeeze. And he writes, a light will rapture the elect, equals Christ in his, and also he draws a cornerstone on the left and rays of light in the cornerstone. In this message, the Feast of the Trumpets, notice on page 32, there the Reverend William Branham tells us, people today are somewhat like Peter and them was, up on the Mount of Transfiguration. They got all enthused when they seen the supernatural did, and one said, we'll make one church of the prophets and one to Moses. And that's the way the people, the Pentecostals, did, they said. The hedera is small cornerstone on the top, and he writes, Mount Transfiguration. They said, we'll make one assembly of God, and one church of God, and one uniness, and one two-ness, and so forth, like that. But while he was yet speaking, Jehovah cried out, this is my beloved Son, who is the Word, hear ye him. See, he is the Word. And there he writes, the first and the second coming of the Lord. The hour that we're living, the ecclesiasticals of spirit uniting together now and bringing them all to this big one slaughter to blood out. It's already written here in this nation now. There he writes, boycott Revelation 13, that these churches had to be closed unless you're with the organization. It's a union. It's a boycott, just like the mark of the beast. And now you see what the beast is, don't you? It's a power. And a power, ecclesiastical power, Jesus said, it would be so close like the real thing. It deceived the very elect if it was possible. But he promised to have something here. And he writes on top, Moses and Elijah. Now, that is the light that he said there, which we read in that paragraph, that when that squeeze comes down, that persecution, he says, there's a light. Now, that light was seen by the Reverend William Branham in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. He saw it speaking to someone else above where he was. Therefore, that deliverance and the blessing that the church bride will receive is a product of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the midst of his church. He promised to have something here, and he writes, Moses and Elijah, for us in that day, that we wouldn't be deceived. And that's the Word, and Christ to make it manifest to us. They are supernaturals, devils, unseen to the eye, but you can see what they're doing. In other words, what they are doing are supernatural devils, using those people. But he says that you can see what they're doing. That is, you can see also what is behind that veil of flesh. Just as God sees each one of us, and he sees of his spirit there, and he sees us like him. Notice, likewise, he has also given us power, and he has given us that power to see those wicked spirits that are behind those people, and to be able to identify them. Now, our brother William continues to say here on the same page 33 and 34, you can read this later on, but he continues to say. Now, Dr. William Soto keeps saying here, in other words, when we see that persecution, remember, it is the time of transformation and rapture of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, the angel of the covenant in Holy Spirit, in the midst of his church, will turn on the light. He will open the mystery of the seven thunders, which contain the divine revelation of the seventh seal. And he will give us the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there will be no problems. There is where problems end. On page 18, on the book of quotations, paragraph 141, he tells us, in this portion, and after a while, they went together and he spoke like the dragon and exercised all the power that Rome did before him. That's coming to our nation. you mark it down. You watch to the Confederation of Churches and the Catholic unite together and watch what takes place. Now notice how all of this that is happening, notice, regarding that war there in the Middle East, and what happened last night, also, which that also brings consequences. But notice, Jesus said in John chapter 5, let us see if it's John, where he tells us, another will come in his own name. John chapter 5, yes, verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Now, all that is falling into place, and the whole outcome of it will be in that confederation of churches with the image of the beast and the beast. Now notice, on page 18 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 141, where we are reading, you watch to the Confederation of Churches and the Catholic unite together, and watch what takes place. People who follow the pillar of fire will certainly have a rough time. People who follow the pillar of fire. And where was the pillar of fire seen? In a great tent cathedral. In other words, in and under that ministry, which is the ministry that was promised, that God would be carrying out in the midst of His church. And that Brother Branham said that, that is the third pool. Now, that people that would follow the pillar of fire, he says, certainly have a rough time, but they're ready for the translation at that time. That's right, just ready to go. And above he writes, the squeeze and the rapture. And above the paragraph, he writes there, on paragraph 141, on top of the paragraph, he writes, USA, Revelation 13. Now, Dr. William Soto continues saying here, in the greatest problem that the church will see, there is where problems will end for the believers in Christ, because it will be the time for our transformation and rapture, or catching away, to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. In this message that we are reading of There is a Man Here That Can Turn on the Light, he also tells us here in a place on page 6, he says, see on the sixth seal, all seven trumpets sounds right there on that sixth seal. See, just before the seventh seal opens, the coming of Christ. And he writes there, the seventh seal opens, the coming of Christ. On the front, he also writes the same thing. The seventh seal opens, the coming of Christ. In the message, we have seen His star, and we have come to worship Him. Here in the English version, It will be page 17. In the Spanish one, it's on page 16. Notice, he says, when Christ Jesus was being formed in Mary, that's when the persecution set in. That's right. That's right. That's when her persecution started. He draws Star of David to the right. And it's the same thing in you. Galatians 1 or Galatians 4:19 says that when Christ, the hope of glory, formed in you, Christ is being formed in you. And there he writes, Christ formed in you. When you're dying and Christ is coming to life, watch the persecution set in. Watch trouble start on every hand. Watch the devil go on a rampage, certainly when Christ is being formed in you. And on the right, he writes, persecution. Now, what will be happening in the midst of the church when that squeeze is being manifested tighter each time? It is that Christ is being formed in you. It is around that word, the same thing that happened with Abraham and Sarah, that around that word, they were rejuvenated. And when Christ was being formed in Mary, quickly come the king's commandment, all your people, just as she was, the Christ was becoming a full baby, ready to be delivered, right then the great persecution. He writes there Mary, and he writes persecution. Now, the baby's been formed for a long time along in the womb. But this is coming the last days when the completeness, when the fullness of the Godhead, when the fullness of Christ is to be manifested among his people. You hear that? He said so. He promised it in his word. And when that fullness is manifested where? In you and in me. You see, there is unusual things begin to happen that he promised. That's the reason our great social lives and things can't understand that. It's foolishness to them. Now watch. They're forming a council of churches, see? Just the time when the churches begin to get to its feet, where the supernatural is begin to work. Now they've all went into a group, and now they're going to try to stop this stuff, just exactly like it was then. Just the time when the church is beginning to get to its feet, where the supernatural is beginning to work, now they've all went into a group, and now they're going to try to stop this stuff just exactly like it was then. Now notice in this message, which title is Time to Ripen in the Light of the Word, Dr. William Soto tells us, which was preached on May 13th of 2011 in Chile. He says, so, those who will be interested in the third pool will be working on that place in which the third pool will be manifested. It doesn't matter the criticism they make against those people. The important thing is what God says. The important thing is what God has in His program. Notice in this message, Taking Sides with Jesus, on page 25, he tells us, from this message, this is on paragraph Paragraph 129. Because he is speaking here, but let us start there, he says. Now, I want to take a subject here of taking sides with Jesus. The Pharisees and leaders of his day always tried to belittle him before the people. That was just the way that the devil had of working. All the Pharisees and the teachers of his day constantly tried to belittle Jesus. To belittle Jesus. They, all the throw-off that they could give to him, they done it. They watched him constantly to find where they could find a fault. And they never spoke of his good things. Now, that is why there is a place where he says that they did not condemn him or for the good works, but for blasphemy. Notice in the book of the Gospel according to John, on chapter 10, verse 31, it says, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I shewed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, it is not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? Notice, that has always made the devil angry. The spirit of the devil is always against the word, the Logos. He doesn't like it. Now notice that it is not for the good deeds, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And it was God making himself man. They were always finding something that they could belittle him about and say, you see, look here, if he was man of God, he wouldn't do it this way. Or if he was a man of God, he wouldn't do it that way. They were trying to cast a shadow upon him to get the people to disbelieve him. That's the work of the devil. And that old scheme has never ceased. That's the way, the manner that the devil works. He has worked like that in past times and has also done it, and so is doing it in this time. Now, our brother William continues to say here, we know that a squeeze will come against the church of the Lord, and none of us wants to provoke it. If someone provokes it, he will answer to God. If, because of something that someone does wrong or against the program that God has for our time, he provokes or causes a squeeze to come, then God will hold him accountable later on. Now notice why we should, as he says here in this message, three kinds of believers, how we identify ourselves. On page 33, notice it says, identify yourself with a Bible character that believed. In other words, you will not identify yourself with an unbeliever. A Bible character that believed. Will you believe the word when it was vindicated? Like I proved it tonight, that it was a vindicated word always. Always contrary to the popular belief. And there he writes, your type in the scriptures. We will not identify ourselves with this kind of people who provoke or who produce a squeeze ahead of time. We all want to work so that all that God has promised is fulfilled. and to be transformed as soon as possible. Because the way things are in their environment, because of the global warming, because of the hole in the ozone layer as well, and other problems, we don't want to be here on Earth for very long. In the message, God is His own interpreter. He tells us there on page 6, that's the reason, this is the Reverend William Branham, that's the reason Jesus said, search the Scriptures. See where we're at. I believe we're at the coming of the Son of God right now. And he writes, SM, that's Son of Man. I believe we are at the age, the very hour that he might appear at any time. I believe the Scriptures declare that we are in the last hours of the history of this world. And he writes, the last hours of the history of the world. I can see things as they are shaping. See this ecumenical council leading all the churches into it, into the mark of the beast. I see the Roman Empire and what it's doing, and all the rest of them. See them getting together, shutting out the light, shutting off the gospel. Everybody will have to belong to it and walk in their light, or won't walk at all. And he writes there, shutting off the light of the gospel, ecumenical council. In this other message, titled The Angels of God, Dr. William Soto says, preached on August 24, 2005, in San Luis Potosí, Mexico. He says, therefore, the angels of God will be taking part there, just like they took part in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. See? Those are the angels of the right hand of God. The archangels Michael and Gabriel are the angels at the forefront of the entire divine program of each time. And therefore, when Elohim was seen on earth with his archangels Gabriel and Michael, something big was going to happen. But a great blessing was also coming to Abraham, the confirmation of the promised son. But then the divine judgment would come upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and they would cease to exist. And for the end time, Christ said that the Son of Man comes with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26 to 28, and Matthew 24, verse 30 to 31, also says that the Son of Man comes in the glory of his Father. It says that he comes in a cloud, and it says that he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet and will gather together his elect. Those are the angels who will gather the wheat in God's barn. The archangels Michael and Gabriel will be there, present, with their heavenly hosts, to support the entire divine program, and to support the instrument that Christ will have in His church at this end time. Just as He supported David against Goliath. Goliath there represents the beast, the Antichrist. In this message, Why Little Bethlehem, he tells us here on page 20, look, he says, the dwellers in Israel in them days was something like it's today in Germany. They have the little cities, and then they live in the cities for protection, and then they take their sheep and their stock out in the country and feed them, and drive them back in. At the evening time, put them in the corrals. And David, looking down upon the city, began to remember the mighty deeds that God had done by him, the great mighty victories that God had won by him. On the left he writes, God through David, how that one day while he had his sheep up there in the mountains where he was, laying down there by the green pastures and so forth, a bear come in and got one of the little lambs and took it out. And he writes, bear, he wrote it on the right, And he went after it, and he killed the bear. And again he writes on the left, bear. God gave him victory, because he was detailed by his father to take care of those sheep. That was his job, take care of the sheep. That is the care and responsibility of the Holy Spirit through that instrument. From age to age, he is responsible for his sheep, for taking care of them, and at the same time as well. Oh, pastor, that's your job. And they eat sheep food, not almanacs, sheep food, God's word. Someone come in and got one, run out. Someone come in and got one and took out. He went after it. A lion come in and took one. He went after it. And he writes lion on the right. He wasn't satisfied until he got it. Dad gave him that great victory one day when he seen Israel all backed up. See, Israel has been hearing all the creeds and everything. They all went to church. They had all been circumcised. They all went to the priest and got their blessings before they went to battle. But when it came down to the showdown of the supernatural, they were, everyone, cowards. Because they seen something was in opposition. Quickly, when something is in opposition, they will quickly run away. And they didn't have the audacity, they didn't have what we call today the street word. They didn't have the go get it. There was something lacking. There at the bottom he writes, Goliath equals the Antichrist, the beast. David is equal the Holy Spirit in his angel. The challenge equals the squeeze. They could not go out there and face that giant. Why? Why? But they was all blessed by the priest. They had the holy blessing upon them. And they had knelt and probably been anointed with the holy waters and whatever it was. And there they was, all standing out there. But when the opposition was so great, they didn't have it. There stood Saul, the general overseer of the bishop, standing out there, head and shoulder above his army. And he made a challenge, Goliath did, and said, if I kill him, then you'll serve us. But if he kills me, then we'll serve you. But the opposition was too great. He had 14-inch fingers that be 28 inches across his hand. Look what a hand he had. His needle, weaver needle, like the spear he had. And think how big his head would be. Be about like a tub. And there would be a helmet an inch or two thick of brass hanging over his head. Look at the armor, pieces of armor like one of these jealousy windows where he could breathe and move himself. That's the way the armor worked. With that great coat of mail hanging on him, may have weighted 100 pounds or 200 pounds of brass hanging over his chest with a needle, spear in his hand, maybe 35 feet long. What the enemy can do when he thinks he's got the odds on you. What he thinks he can do. How he'll make the boost. The days of miracles is past. You can't get by with such a thing as that. But there come a little ruddy-looking fellow. There he writes, blonde. A ruddy-looking fellow that hadn't had no theological experience, but he had an experience that God still remained. God. God keeps his word. And he writes on the left there, eighth son of Jesse. Now look, our brother William continues to say here, therefore. He's referring to that instrument. Let's read the previous paragraph again. He says, those are the angels who will gather the wheat in God's storehouse. The archangels Michael and Gabriel will be present there with their heavenly hosts to support the entire divine program and to support the instrument that Christ will have in His church at this end time. Therefore, he will be able to say, as Elisha said to his servant, "Those that are with us are more than those that are against us." He will be a prophet greater than Elisha himself, and he will be a dispensational prophet, to whom the heavenly host will be supporting with their commanding archangels. In the message, "Christ is the mystery of God revealed," he tells us on page 79, the Reverend William Branham says, "The devil is howling about this, the manifested truth of the promise of the word in her alone. They don't have the answer. When Jesus come, why didn't those Pharisees," he said, "if I cast out devils by the finger of God, who do you cast them out by?" See, he stood alone. And his church stands alone. She is not hooked with nothing. But he was identified by God, being the body that God dwelled in. And the church is identified by his body, doing the same thing. She is his body, the manifested truth of his promised word for the last days. And she alone stands by it. And there he writes, the identification of the church, Elijah and Moses. That is why the devil is howling these great organizations to set up something to close her up. That is, the bride. They'll never do it. She'll be taken up, not closed up. She is now risen, and by the power of the vindicated word promised to her. And he writes there, resurrection by the spoken word through Elijah and Moses. For the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And there he writes, in flesh. In who? In who the ministries of Moses and Elijah are. He told me he would return after me. I believe it. See? Yes, sir. To meet her headship, her Redeemer, her husband, her King, her Lord, her Lover, her Savior, in the provided meeting place. And that place is the age of the cornerstone. He's got a place to meet them. You know, the bridegroom don't leave out nothing. He's got the ring, the identification. He's got the robe that she wears, her clothing, see? And he's got the provided place to meet her. That's in the air. Everything has been all provided. He's got the wedding supper already set. Guests already invited, already chosen. All the angels are standing around his servants at attention. Now notice, he numbers them. He says, the ring, and he writes one. The identification, he's got the robe that she wears, her clothing, and he writes two on clothing. He's got the provided place, and he writes three. The place. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here in this message that we are reading the angels of God. Therefore, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Therefore, this earthly kingdom will be given to Christ and to his church. And the devil will then be bounded in the bottomless pit. And all the instruments of the devil will also be bounded there in the fifth dimension, where they belong to. And the beast and the false prophet, the Antichrist, will be where? There inside the fifth dimension, in the bottomless pit. They will be there in that lake of fire where the devil will be cast into after the millennial kingdom. But during the millennial kingdom, the devil will be bounded in the bottomless pit. Therefore, there will be peace on earth and in the kingdom of David, and the throne of David will be restored, and therefore monarchy will be restored and will be fused with theocracy, and then there will be blessing and peace for the Hebrew people and for all nations that will be living on this earth. Now notice, in this message titled The Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Antichrist, because notice that we are already seeing at this time what Dr. William Soto told us here in this message, The Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Antichrist, preached on May 8, 2011, here in Calle, Puerto Rico, he says. That is why the Reverend William Branham says that in the third pool, when the third pool is manifested, where the power of God that was seen manifested partially through him will be manifested in all of its fullness. He says that this will give the faith for the rapture to the believers in Christ. It will give them faith to be transformed and raptured and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And as a sign of the time in which this will be fulfilled, he says that there will come a squeeze upon the believers in Christ, upon those who are going to enjoy those blessings. First, there will come a squeeze. Therefore, when you see a squeeze moving, and it is also directed against that tenth vision, remember, the full manifestation of God is very close. The adoption of the sons and daughters of God is very close. In other words, that is directed against the fulfillment of the tenth vision, the ministry and everything that corresponds to what was shown by the Reverend William Branham in that vision. Everything that would be happening in that third pool, once you see that squeeze being directed against that ministry and the tent, watch, because it's very close for God to fulfill all these promises, which will be of a blessing for each one of us. Therefore, we will be on the side of what God has promised, working in favor of the project that God has promised to carry out at this end time. We're not going to take sides with those who will be against, because we would place ourselves in the position of all those who rose against the program of God in all times. In this message, titled The Voice of the Sign in Each Time, preached on June 7th, 2015, in Calle, Puerto Rico, that is here in Puerto Rico, Dr. William Soto says, the most important thing was the voice of God speaking the message, the word of God for that time. And he had the sign in the hand, the second sign. He is referring to the Reverend William Branham in his time. And he had the sign in the hand, the second sign, the sign of the discernment of the Spirit, and the third sign, which is the creative word being spoken, which he called the third pool. And he says that that third pool was manifested in part, partially, but that when the squeeze comes for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, then what we have seen partially manifested, that third pool of the creative word being spoken and what is spoken being materialized, then that third pool will be manifested. And that will give the believers in Christ at the end time rapturing faith, faith to be transformed and raptured. In the Book of the Seals, on page 131, here he tells us, this is an excerpt that is there in the Book of Quotations also. On page 87, we have that excerpt that we are going to read from the Book of the Seals. Paragraph 749. Here in the Book of the Seals is on 131. Notice what the Reverend William Branham tells us here. I'm going to read from the book and also see there the writings that he has there in the book of quotations. He says, now let's start studying a little now. Get down to our lesson. I just keep on that. We never will get into this seal. Now notice, let's take now, because we're going to have a long, maybe tomorrow night or next night, hear a trumpet now and then, because the trumpet sound at the same time the seals. It's just the same thing. The church age opens, just the same thing, see? And he writes there, the ages, the seal, and the trumpet at the same time. Now, a trumpet always denotes war or otherwise political disturbance. The trumpet does. A political disturbance that causes war. When you go to get messing in politics and get them all mixed up, like we got it now, look out, war is at hand. Here in the book of quotations, above the paragraph, he writes, the seals, the trumpets, and the vials, the plagues. And also on the right, on the margin, starting from the bottom, he draws two stars of David. And further down, he writes, confusion, then comes war. The kingdom still, I'm still on page 131 of the seals. But see, the kingdom still belongs to Satan. He still got this part in his hand. Because why? It is redeemed by Christ, but he's doing the parts of the kinsman redeemer, taking his subjects onto the last one name is put on that book, has already received it and been sealed away. Here on the book of quotations, he draws Star of David on the right, and he writes, name in the book. Now, have you got it? Then he comes from his throne, his father's throne, walks forward, takes the book out of God's hand from the throne and claims his right. The first thing he does is call for his bride. When he receives the book, the first thing he does is call for his bride. There he draws Star of David on the right in the book of the seals. Amen. Then what does he take? He takes his opponent, Satan, and binds him and casts him into the fire out there with all that followed him. Now remember, it wasn't Russia. No. The Antichrist is a smooth fellow. Just watch how smooth he is. He's smart now. Yes, sir. Just take the Holy Spirit. Only thing can outdo him. Notice trumpets means political disturbance, wars. Matthew 24, Jesus spoke of it. He said, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See, all the way down through. You remember Jesus speaking that. Wars, rumors, and wars, and rumors and wars, and plumb on down to the end. Here in 1:12 at the bottom, there he writes, trumpets equals political disturbance and wars. Seals, dash, religious wars and disturbance. I continue in 1:31. Now, that's the trumpet sounding. Now, when we get on the trumpets, we'll go back there and pick up each one of them wars and show you that they follow them churches. Show you they follow these seals. Wars and rumors of wars, but trumpet denotes political disturbance. There on the left, upward, on the top left, he writes, trumpets equals wars. Whereas seals deal with the religious disturbance, see? A seal is open, a message is dropped. And then the church is always so set up in its own political ways and whatever more, and all of its dignitary. And when that real message drops down, that messenger goes forth and shakes them to pieces. That's right. It's religious disturbance when a seal is open. That's what happened. Yep, yes. They get all at ease in Zion. And there he writes, on the left upward in three sentences, the opening of a seal equals, it brings a religious disturbance. What about the seventh seal? When it's open, it is a question. That is, when the seventh seal is open, what will happen? Notice, that disturbance also happens. Now, Dr. William Soto Santiago continues to say here in the message, the voice of the signed in each time, he continues to say, and he says that that will be in the Great Tent Cathedral, where he was, and he saw everything that was taking place there. And he saw that sacred light, the pillar of fire, which is Christ in Holy Spirit, in the midst of his church, moving, whirling away to that little room, a little room that there will be in that Great Tent Cathedral, a little wooden room. Now notice, he saw the light there. And look on this page 336 of the Book of the Seals. There he tells us where that revelation comes from. Therefore, if the revelation of the seventh seal was going to be opened in a Great Tent Cathedral, then the one who would open that mystery had to be there. On page 336, let us see on this one, on the blue one. He makes a writing there. And this one, he has the writing on the book in Spanish 292, halfway on the page. But on page 336 in English, owe them revelations. In the presence of that ball of fire hanging there in a room, the first six seals were open, but of the seventh seal, even the fourth seal, is a foretold seal. The fifth, well, it was fulfilled halfway. And the sixth, though he said it is the ministries of Moses and Elijah, he still wasn't able to say the name of that instrument. In other words, there was something left there that he could not open, he says. Till, oh brother, although I have seen it since the child, every time it comes near me, it alarms me. In the seventh seal there, he speaks of that reverential fear. It alarms me. He almost puts me in a unconscious condition. He draws Star of David on the left. You never get used to it. You can't. It's too sacred. And he draws Star of David on the right. And above he writes, the revelation comes from the pillar of fire. Therefore, that is why in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, he saw the pillar of fire there, speaking to that person above. And there is where it was said that the seventh seal would be open. Now he goes on to say, that is what is promised for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the last manifestation of Christ in Holy Spirit in the midst of His Church, to give her the faith to be transformed and raptured at the last day. On page 121 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1080, it tells us, paragraph 1080 tells us, God was waiting on them. He had his prophet out there in the wilderness. In a place he says, the wilderness is the Caribbean. But he was only waiting for the people to call him into action. I believe he's got the same thing today, waiting for his church to call it on the scene so he can act. The promise of today is ready, in other words, to enter into desperation. But he has to get the people to praying and groaning like they were down there. Then he'll come on the scene. Above he writes, the promise of the hour. The promise of the hour. Moses. Two dots. The people have to ask for it. The promise of the hour, Moses, the people have to ask for it. Our brother William continues to say here, a bit further on the same subject, in order to hear the voice of God, the signs always precedes it. The instrument that God has to put His word in His mouth, so that He speaks it, anointed with the Holy Spirit, and that is the voice of God for the human beings. On page 137 of the Book of the Seals, the Reverend William Branham tells us, "And a thunder went off. John knew," paragraph 173, "John knew it was the voice of God. And then the lion-like creature said, 'Come see what it is.' And John went forth now with his pen to write what he was going to see. Now he never seen exactly what it was. He never understood it. Here in the blue one he writes, 'John heard but did not understand.' And John went forth now with his pen to write what he was going to see. Now, he never seen exactly what it was, he never understood it. But what he saw was what God was sending to the church for a time. There on the right, towards the top, he writes, he saw a symbol. Now, he's God, he always does. He makes it plain when it's time to make it plain. But he didn't make it plain then. Why? Because he was going to keep it as a secret unto the last age. And beside it, he writes faith. And the sounding of the last angel's message was to gather up these mysteries. And on the left, upwards, he writes there, the thunder equals the voice of God. The thunder equals the voice of God. And our brother William continues to say here in this message, the voice of the sign in each time. Therefore, it is important for us to always be prepared to hear the voice of God at the time in which we are living, because He will be speaking to His church at this end time in which we are living. The identification of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is up to us to be prepared. And as he said there, the people must go into prayer. But he has got to get the people to praying and groaning like they were down there. Then he'll come on the scene. The identification of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us stand. And just as he told him, that to go into that stage, he says that he has to and had to come in with fear and reverence. And he had to be consecrated. I don't know if Sharon is around here, so she can sing us that song, Sanctification. And in that way we prepare ourselves to receive this message. And we'll sing to the Lord from the depths of our soul. And may He help us at this end time, in which the days will be more and more difficult. But notice, he said that once all of that came, notice on page 428, there he says, for we realize we have just a short time, and the church might go at any time. The Lamb might, at any time, leave the sanctuary up there, or the throne of sacrifice, come forth from the throne of God, where the sacrifice lays, and then it's over. There is no more hopes for the world. There is no more hopes for the world. She is finished. Then she goes into fluctuations of great spasms of earthquakes and great shakings like it was at the resurrection. As Christ rose from the grave, when the saints rise, the same thing will take place. Lord, it could be at any minute. We're watching for that glad day to arrive. Your sorrow will be turned into what? Into joy. Like a woman who is about to give birth. Take your children under your arms, Father, now. Draw your little lambs to your bosom. Grant it and feed them on the word, till they're in strength for service. Sanctification, if we can sing it.
Santidad.
Notice in the message, token, on page 55, the piano may continue on that same tune of sanctification. Notice, Brother Branham says, he's already here finishing this message, token, which he said that after the seals, one of the most important message, and he says possibly the most important and most outstanding. And he says here, in this prayer, part of the prayer, he says, it's you. We are partners in this with Christ. We are brothers and sisters, and He is our King. And I love you. Where I am, I want you to be. And he writes, where I am, I want you to be. I drive across the nation to speak to you a couple times. I long to meet with you here on Sunday morning. I love you. I've always loved you. Sometimes I have to speak real harsh, but it's only corrective. You see, it's just, it's because I love you. And there he writes on the left, Sunday are corrective. See, I don't want you to miss it. You mustn't do that now. Just sweetly and humbly, with all that's in your heart, way down deep, just accept it. Say, Lord Jesus, right now, just take all that's in me that's unlike you. And let me move all my pride, and he circles pride, all that's in me, out, all the trash, all the unbelief that's in me, I discard it now, Lord. I just kick it out. And let the sweet Holy Spirit of God, like a dove, move down in me. I want to live eternally, and so do we. Lord, I want you to help me at this time. Grant it now. And he writes there, to live eternally. And that has been the promise for each one of his children, to live eternally with that eternal and glorified body that he promised for each one of us. Let's sing that song again. Sanctification. Love him, he says. See what he's done for you. It's by love. Love brings obedience. Love brings courtship. Love brings marriage. And that's where we're headed. Marriage supper of the Lamb. I hear my Savior calling that he loves me too.
Dios le dijo a Josué, maravillas pronto haré, santifica mi pueblo para que las puedan ver. Hoy la tierra prometida frente a nosotros está para entrar al cuerpo eterno. Dios demanda santidad. Porque Señor,
Amen and amen. That is the promise for those who are identified as disciples of the Lord. In other words, that is for you and for me. The identification of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We leave with us immediately our beloved brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.